Vibes! Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K26 with myself, Mo Mooksy, and alongside me, as always, the two-time NBA champion, Coach Brendan Sir. Coach, how you doing?
My kind of game. My kind of game. I like these. Oh, go on the road, win like that. Amazing win.
What a day. First of all, Arsenal hold that L in the Champions League final.
I watched it.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I almost put it out on X, but no one in the States would care like I did. I love, in any sport, when a championship's won and how genuine the enthusiasm and love is for players. And the guys just showed it. It was so fabulous.
What's fascinating about PSG is, before we start talking about NBA, they had Mbappe, who's one of the best players in the world.
I love census. Him. Yeah.
And then once he left, they finally cleared the hurdle, and now they're back-to-back Champions League champions. Reminds me of a lot of times in the NBA when people say, they describe a player as the dynasty starts after you. You know what I mean? Like, once that player leaves the team, then they finally start winning. It's just an interesting anecdote. So I enjoyed the Arsenal fans and their tears. And I also enjoyed the OKC Thunder.
You are such a hater. It's unreal.
So here's what we say. It's not hating, it's critique.
Whatever.
I enjoyed the San Antonio Spurs winning game 7, 111-103. And here's the thing, Coach. The game tipped off here at 1:30 a.m. What time did it tip off for you?
A little after 7 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to need you to get your phone out right now because you know Sam Presti, right? You have to tell him to alert Chet Holmgren that the game actually started 5 hours ago and is finished, because I don't think he actually arrived to the arena. Because for a guy who's on an all NBA team, I didn't see him. I saw Shai Gilgeous-Alexander do everything he could.
Was he also all defensive team also?
Chet, yeah. I saw Shai do everything he could in 35 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds, 3 steals and a block. He looked completely gassed at the end of the game because he's been playing so many minutes. And it's not just the amount of minutes. It's the fact that every minute he's on the floor, he is the sole responsibility of creating the offense for his team. There was no one else contributing on the offensive side of the basketball. Okay. They had, 4 guys in double figures, and two of them came off the bench. One of them was Shai, 2 of them came off the bench, and the other one was Cason Wallace with 10. I'm looking at the wrong column here. I'm looking at the wrong column. I'm so sorry. But it still stands. The point still stands. Cason Wallace had 17. But what's insane to me is Chet Holmgren. 33 minutes, 1 of 2 from the field. And then, Coach, get this. Okay, he's 7 foot something, 4 rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, there's an old saying that great players show up in big games, you know, and all that stuff. And one of my favorite quotes is, the notoriety of a player is dictated by their execution under pressure. Game 7 is the ultimate pressure in basketball. Just like today in soccer, football over there, it was the UEFA
Champions League.
Championship. It was big time, big time. And that's when players, you know, that's when you get your fame. Shai playing like that, Wimby, et cetera, all those other guys. Yeah, that, you know, there's a, and then they have.
Before you get into that, Coach, I want to tell you one of my favorite quotes.
I'm not celebrating that. It was a great 7-game series.
I will tell you one of my favorite quotes, and this quote does have a swear word, so if you're listening with your kids in the car or whatever, just mute this for the next 30 seconds. There was a tweet that went viral earlier this playoffs, and he said, "Done with the spreadsheets, done with advanced stats, done with anything that involves a formula. Basketball is about who's a bitch and who isn't." And I thought, nothing summed that up more than the personal battle between Wembanyama and Chet Holmgren in this series. And not even just Wembanyama, even Vassell was getting in Chet's face. And they would disrespect him, and he did nothing. And I don't know him personally. I'm sure Chet is a great guy, Okay, I don't know him either. But just based on what I've seen on the court, as your team's big man, you are the center of your team. Well, Hartenstein's there, but you're the tallest guy on the team. You cannot allow that. You cannot allow a group of people to come and disrespect you in that way, and you do nothing about it. I'm sorry, it just cannot run.
Yeah, after game three, I said to someone in our inner circle that the only way the Spurs can win this thing is if they understand that the playoffs at this level are all about physicality, toughness. And they flipped the switch the next game. Even though they lost games after that, they still flipped the switch and they played hard. And they were the more physical team. And I thought it was a great series. Huge upset. I'm not before this season. I know you're going to put it out there. You know, I did not think they would repeat, but I did not think it was because I really thought it was going to be because Shea was going to get worn down. I just didn't expect the injuries.
You called it on the injuries. You were spot on.
I was really concerned about that.
And you know what I love is when we did the show before the Western Conference Finals, I picked OKC to win. And then we did the show. I went to the airport. I flew to Milan to do my other show, the Prime podcast. And during that journey, I was thinking about it. And then I was doing the show. And at the start of the show, I said, I'm picking OKC. But by the time I finished talking about the matchup, I changed my mind to San Antonio winning. So you best believe I'm going to take the clip of me picking the Spurs.
I love it. Incredible. And the biggest thing that we were both worried about in this great series was health of players. And that it shifted when after game two, I believe, or whatever, when we thought that they had a couple of guards out.
Fox and Harper.
And my God.
And it impacted them because the games they did play, because I think they missed, they played, but like you could see they were clearly hampered.
But man, they made a difference.
Yeah, because even tonight, down the stretch, that big three-pointer from Dylan Harper, this is a rookie coming off the bench.
He's phenomenal.
The audacity to take that shot, let alone make that shot, is ridiculous. The poise, you have to be so poised to do something like that as a rookie, ridiculous.
Yeah, no, Champagne, fabulous, you know.
Yep.
They did a great job. I'm really happy. All the coaches on both teams I know, so I'm happy. You know, I didn't have a favorite, but I'm happy for Mitch Johnson, my friend Sean Sweeney, coaching youth faculty member, emeritus. He's phenomenal. And so I was really
– Well, Sean Sweeney's going to be the Orlando Magic head coach next season, so – he's got to make this run count in the finals with the Spurs.
I just texted him before I came on the show and said, go win a ring.
As good as he is as a coach, the Orlando Magic ain't seeing the finals anytime soon. So
stop that, okay? Let the guy enjoy this, okay? No wonder you live in London. Every day it rains. You're amazing.
So listen, I love this series. I love this game seven. The fact that we didn't have a blowout in a game seven, which is what we've been seeing a lot of recently.
Yeah, this was fantastic.
Refreshing. This
was and OKC was favored by 3.5 points. And when it got to halftime, I said, I don't know if they can hold off OKC to Spurs.
Because the way they closed out that second half.
And then when they got the 11-point, 12-point lead in the third quarter, then they closed it down. Then they went up again 11. I was shocked that this is something you don't rarely see by teams on the road in a game seven at this level of the series.
And OKC, they got the game to within two possessions with under a minute left. So it's not like the game is completely lost. But it's crazy, going back to Chet Holmgren, not to be a hater, but benched for that final couple minutes. He has $240 million of his contract kicking in next season.
What we don't know if anything's wrong with him. We don't know. I don't know.
It's the playoffs. There's something wrong with everyone, coach.
No, I'm just saying, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say anything until we know. but I know everyone over there is incredibly disappointed. They have a great team, a terrific front office, great coaching staff. It was a great series. And when you get to this level, conference finals, I mean, you're talking about in this series, this was a finals type of matchup. Two great mm-hmm. teams, considered basically the top two teams in the NBA this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't disappoint as far as that. And to go and win on the road shows you potential greatness for the Spurs.
And we have to, you know, acknowledge that J-Dub didn't play and AJ Mitchell didn't play, which was huge losses for OKC because those are their second and third creators outside of Shea, right?
Yeah.
Without those two guys, the best offense you can get is either a catch and shoot three for Caruso, Case Wallace, or Isaiah Hartenstein push shot in the paint. And that's just not sustainable in 48 minutes.
AJ Mitchell is like the lowest paid player on their team.
$3 million.
And one of the most valuable, in my opinion.
Absolutely, I agree.
One of the most valuable players.
I agree. So the San Antonio Spurs are Western Conference champions. For all who said they haven't got the experience, they're proving them wrong game by game. And they set up a rematch of the 1999 NBA Finals between the New York Knicks and the San Antonio Spurs. And the added layer to this is Coach Becky Hammon, former assistant coach of the Spurs, was the one who went on ESPN and said Jalen Brunson can't be a number one option on a championship-winning team.
Yeah.
So now the Knicks have extra fuel added to the fire. Yeah,
she didn't say that recently. It was said like over, you know, a year or two, you know.
But the point being, right?
No. But she said the other day, she doubled down on it.
But what she said is not crazy. Like,
no,
I understand that Knicks fans are like defensive of Jalen Brunson, but it's proven that the only small guy to be number one on a championship team as like a clear number one option is Steph Curry. The other guy, Isaiah Thomas.
The real Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah. But that's different, though.
Yeah, so no, I'm saying.
That's different. That was like a defensive juggernaut. Like, Jalen Brunson is not part of a defensive juggernaut team. Do you get what I'm saying here? Like,
No, of course. But, you know. But
so there's been two guys in the history of the NBA, and both of them, if you rank your list of point guards, they have to be in your top three. Wherever you want to put Magic, they're two of the top three point guards of all time. So the point she made was not that crazy. I didn't say it was. No, I'm saying for the Knicks fans who are offended by the comment she made.
It doesn't matter what anyone thinks, but, you know, she stayed with it. She said it, but, you know, it's easy for her to be coaching the Las Vegas Aces and talk shit about
the team
when you have
roster.
To play against them. You know, they'll find out about how good Jalen Brunson is. Jalen Brunson's, first of all, he's a winner, always has been in college and now in the pros. And he's a great teammate. He's a leader, and he's, you know, so he doesn't walk around saying I'm the best player. He says I'm a good player on a great team. Yeah, that's what he is.
And they're in the finals because he took a massive $100 million cut on his contract so that he could get his teammates
that's
back.
What I'm saying. He's a great
teammate. Bet on himself leaving Dallas. Like, he could have taken the easy route of being number two to Luka and stayed with the Mavs. And the whole timeline of the NBA is different. But he bet on himself. So that's the added fuel to the fire for the Knicks. The added fuel to the fire for the Spurs is the Knicks are the team that beat them in the NBA Cup Final. So we actually get a rematch of the NBA Cup Final in the NBA Finals. Huge win for Adam Silver. Huge win for the Emirates Group. Because now the NBA Cup is now certified. Okay, now this is serious business. Because in previous years when the Lakers won it and the Bucks won it, that wasn't really... No one really cared. But now... I wonder how the perception of that tournament changes moving forwards, seeing as the two finalists from this year are now in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I think it's great. And the Knicks, if you remember, as excited as they were, Mr. Dolan refused to put the banner up.
Yep.
Because he said, we're playing for the other banner. We're thrilled that we won this, but we're playing for the other banner, which I think was the right thing to do.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Put the banner up in the practice facility if you want, you know, or something. You know, it's cool if you want that, but who cares? But I think it's going to be a terrific series, better than people think. I really do.
Yeah, just in case anyone doesn't remember, these two teams split the regular season series with the Knicks winning at home and the Spurs winning at home in their respective matchups. But the NBA Cup Final, the Knicks won 124-113. Wembanyama came off the bench on that game. He was returning from injury.
Yeah.
So things will look a little different in the NBA finals.
And the game prior to that, if I'm not mistaken, like not the day before, but 2 days before, is the Spurs had to match up with OKC and they upset OKC.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yep. They sent them home. Yep. So we got a rematch going on here. I don't know reading into that matchup because I think the Knicks are a completely different team and the Spurs are a completely different team to what they were in November. Was this November that this happened? I don't know. December 17th. December.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the two teams look very different, Coach. Let's talk about the NBA Finals. Matchup wise, what you're looking for, what's going on here. I think the first thing that springs to mind for me is the fact that Karl-Anthony Towns can stretch the floor so much as a center. The Spurs are probably going to look to guard Josh Hart with Wemby the same way they did for the early games in this series with Alex Caruso. So then that way, Wemby's not taken all the way out past the three-point line to stay with Kat. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what their thinking is on that, but that's what I would think right now, too. I don't know. You know, it's funny. The matchups they have, which Champagne playing so well now, I gotta really study it. I have not even looked at the matchups. We're going to have two centers that are playing outside the three-point line, which is absolutely insane.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely insane. The thing that almost cost them the game tonight is Wimby playing so far from the basket.
Yeah.
And it was really, really bothering me.
Yeah, can I share this with the listeners? Me and Coach were on the phone during the game, and you made that point to me about Wemby playing so far from the basket. And then once you said that sentence, the next possession, he's parked out behind the three-point line. They turn the ball over. But then the possession after that, he gets the ball on the post and just dunks over three guys. Well, he goes past three guys and dunks it. And I was the timing of that was crazy.
Well, it's going to suck the defense in, which is going to open up their guards and shooters more.
Yep.
And so I know he likes to be a guard, Wimby. He's really a point guard in that 7'5 body. But if he goes inside, gets a little stronger, he will be a major factor in this league for time to come. One of our friends asked me during the game, who is better, Kareem or him? And there's no comparison right now, is Kareem. It was Kareem.
That's even a question is insane.
Yeah, but it's because Kareem had the incredible low post, unstoppable shot.
Yeah.
The sky hook.
And here's the crazy thing,
like crazy. Yeah.
Wemby used to hit that shot before he came to the NBA.
Yeah.
I've watched him before he came to the NBA, and he had the sky hook or at least the hook shot in his bag, but he's not used it in the NBA. If he masters that is over. Maybe he's waiting for the finals to bring it out.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think the thing that's going to be interesting is the Spurs defense is elite. We have two great defensive teams.
Yep.
The Knicks have become a great defensive team during the playoffs.
Yep.
It's rarely that a team shifts that good in the playoffs to become.
You talk about the Spurs having the best defensive guards. The Knicks might have the best defensive wings in Anunoby and Bridges and Hart. So
absolutely. Yeah. We got defenders, and we also have a game. This is where I was saying to you, we have a team that has big centers,
mm-hmm.
but we have the four other players are all small. They're all guards or wings.
Yep.
They're not power forwards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bridges, OG, you know, and we have guys, and both teams have somewhat effective benches. The Knicks have more depth right now, in my opinion, when used, than the Spurs. But the Spurs, you know, they barely used Carter Bryant tonight, who was fabulous in game six. But the kid's going to get some run early in the finals, I think.
Yeah, because the Knicks have had 8 days rest. The finals begin on Wednesday. The Knicks will have had 8 days rest. The Spurs just three. So. Yeah. I'm thinking about the matchup of like Stephon Castle or Dylan Harper guarding Jalen Brunson. If I'm coaching the Spurs, I'm going to have them full court pressing him, keeping the ball out of his hands. But they got some tired legs. They've been through a long stretch to get here compared to the Knicks, who have swept their way through Philly and then swept their way through Cleveland. So they're going to have some tired legs in this series, and they don't really have the chance to rest. So
I think,
how's that going to impact things?
They're going to be emotionally tired too.
Yes.
This you cannot believe what this is going to do to them, because you could see it on the court. I watched a little bit of the post-game celebration because I love those things.
Yeah.
And they are emotionally so. And when they get home, we're going to party tonight and late at night in San Antonio on the Riverwalk. It'll be wonderful. And, you know, and I think they'll have tomorrow off. And then Monday and Tuesday, they'll prep for the Knicks. And the Knicks will fly in probably on Monday evening and get ready on Tuesday and Wednesday for the game. And I think it's going to be a good series. But to ask you to predict a winner now, I am not. I think the way the Knicks play on the road, the way they're playing right now, they're the best team in basketball.
I got the Knicks winning game one.
I'm sorry?
I got the Knicks stealing game one.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. The only thing is the time off, you lose your thing a little bit and you're on the road. But I think they learned their lesson from game one against Cleveland. I think they'll be ready. Mitchell Robinson is going to play. He's going to be limited somewhat. But I think, you know, they should be okay.
Do you know who I'd be looking at giving some run in this matchup? Purely for the psychological factors, is Jose Alvarado. Because you see Steph Castle's a fantastic player. However, it does seem quite easy to get under his skin because the amount of times Alex Caruso did it. So if I'm Mike Brown, I'm sending in my fresh-legged squad, and then I'm going to send in Jose Alvarado and tell him to pester this man as much as he possibly can to bait a reaction out of him. That's something I'm looking at.
No, Alvarado is, you know, he's the kind of guy that he gets things done. He's a great teammate, a perfect fit for the Knicks. One of the great acquisitions they've made. Landry Shamet's just been shooting the daylights out. You know, I just like their team. I really do.
Coach, do you know statistically who's the best defender of Victor Wembanyama in the NBA?
No.
Statistically, it's OG Anunoby.
Interesting.
So this is going to be a fascinating.
I just don't know who Cat plays then. I just don't know. I haven't studied it, so I just don't know who he plays.
It would be Champagne, I guess.
He can't play Champagne because he's out.
The shooters are too good. Vassell and Champagne are too good. And then I'm also looking at De'Aaron Fox in this finals. You know, like, they've given you the big contract. This is your time to step up now, because it's kind of gone under the radar a little bit. He's not performed the way you'd expect a max contract player like him to perform. Like, they won, fair play, but like,
we'll say the ankle, you know, was a factor in this series, ankle sprain.
But even prior to that, like, I'm talking about the season in general.
Well, you know, that's the thing. When you give a long-term contract to someone, there's no rebates. So, you know, so he's got that contract. It's very popular with the team and stuff. And, you know, he's got, you know, shit, you know, he wants to perform. He's a good kid and all that. So this is the thing. The spotlight is on you. The pressure's on you. I love it. There's nothing better in the finals. Been to a couple of them, like them. Don't have that much experience in them. I told you that, Mo. I only coached 9 games in the finals.
Coach, don't mess about. Mess about with it. this is going to be a thrilling series. There are so many layers and so many different factors that are going to go into this. I think the biggest one, obviously, is health, though. That's the number one factor that can decide this series.
Always is.
But
officials will be good. Home courts are both places are insane.
Yep.
Nothing is more insane than New York.
Yep. That's why I think if the Knicks can steal game one on the road against this tired squad who have just peaked emotionally, who are going to have to come back down to earth to play game one, if they can steal that game one on the road, then I think the Knicks could be looking at the city shutting down if they win a championship.
You know, you got to win one game before you win 2 games, before you win 3 games, before you win 4. The finals, it seems like it never ends when you're in them. And the hardest thing to do is to win the deciding game. Close that one out.
Close that game.
Hardest thing to do. But I love it. We got 2 great teams. It's going to be a great series. I wish I was there. I was at the last one in 99.
Wow.
Isaiah Thomas was broadcasting for NBC, and I traveled with him. We were making an acquisition, he and I, of we were buying the CBA, And so we together. And so we were in the midst of doing a deal. So I went with him for all the games, New York and San Antonio.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty cool.
What's the time on that journey? How long's that flight? New York to San Antonio?
2.5, 3 hours. That's easy.
I remember doing the Warriors Celtics finals, and we're doing like a 7-hour flight every five days.
3 hours. Our charter flights are not bad. So 3 hours.
Yeah, that's Coach Flex in the private jet.
We're private jet, baby. Yeah.
All right, listen, that is the NBA finals. I cannot believe the finals are here. The season has flown by.
It's fabulous.
I can't believe I've survived through this season. I've never been more tired in my life. I've been doing this.
I carried your ass, frankly.
I'm going to be real with you, Coach. I'm 31 now. This is way harder than it used to be.
I was once 31. But hey, it's 10:30 at night here. I'm ready to go, baby.
Hey, it's 4:30 in the morning. I'm ready to sleep. Coach, are you going to give us a finals prediction or not before we get out of here? Just based off right now, gut feeling.
Oof, boy. The only way they can do it is the Knicks have to win it in six. It's the only way they can do it.
That's why I said they go win game one.
Yeah. One or two.
Yeah.
One or two. One or two, then we have to win three or four, go down and lose five, come back and win game six. So they have to get a split in San Antonio, sweep at home.
Is that your pick, Knicks in six?
Knicks in six.
That's my pick too. I never thought I'd say those words.
No, I tell you what, Mike Brown, I give him a lot of credit. He got fired in San Antonio, out of work.
Sacramento.
The sixth choice for the job.
In Sacramento?
No, sixth choice for the Knicks job.
No, you said he got fired in San Antonio.
No, my bad. He lives in San Antonio, I'm sorry. Yeah, he got fired in Sacramento.
Yeah. He was the sixth choice. Who was the other five guys they had ahead of him?
Number one was Jason Kidd. Number two was your friend Ime Udoka.
Mm-hmm.
Number three was our friend from Minnesota.
Chris Finch.
Chris Finch was three. Billy Donovan was in there at four.
And Brendan Sir?
And I think might have been Quinn Snyder.
Oh, wow. Well, shout out to Mike Brown.
Five other people. They did not turn the job down. They were not allowed permission to go and seek the job.
Yep.
When the Knicks called and asked permission of their teams.
Yep. Well, it's going to be a fascinating series. Let us know your predictions in the Discord or on social media. We'll be covering all the games and we'll be here rocking with you guys. So stay locked in for that. Subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify.
Will we do a post game on the game one?
I think that's what the people want, Coach. I think I'm doing the call on Prime, okay. So it's going to be an hour after the game.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
I've got to do the call on Prime, so it might be a little... I don't know if you can handle the late nights, but we've only got seven games left of the season, potentially.
Let's do it this way. I'm only going to do it if our people request it.
Okay, let us know.
They better, social media-wise, put into our site that they want this thing.
All right, they don't. Discord gang, Twitter gang, Instagram, get active, show the coach that you want to show after every game.
Yeah.
Let us know, because we're here for the people.
I'll do it for the people.
You know, the GMs of the teams, as you say, Coach, they serve at the pleasure of the owners of the team. We serve at the pleasure of the people, because that's what
we love for our audience.
Shout out to all of you guys who have been with us all season. Shout out to you guys who are just tuning in now. Get ready for the NBA Finals. It's going to be a movie. The New York Knicks have the chance to finally win an NBA championship for the first time in what feels like a million years. The San Antonio Spurs look to start a new dynasty after they ruled the 2000s with Greg Popovich, Tim Duncan, and co. What remains to be said is I'm ready for game one, baby. Let's get it. Until next time, get buckets.